What if you could design a brand new drug from target to final molecule in just 18 months instead of the typical 5 to 7 years? And what if the first drug created this way is already succeeding in mid-stage human trials? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a fundamental shift in how medicines are created and produced. Artificial intelligence is moving beyond a research tool to become the chief architect of new drugs. We're also seeing the first ever FDA approval for a new class of cancer therapy that destroys, rather than blocks, disease-causing proteins.
And we'll cover a manufacturing bottleneck in RNA therapeutics that's about to break wide open, and how a new approval for a so-called magic bullet cancer drug is rewriting the rules for how we treat tumors. For executives in the US and Europe, the message is clear. The pace of innovation is accelerating, and the underlying infrastructure of pharma is being rebuilt right now.
Troy, let's start with AI. We've talked about it speeding up discovery, but the headlines this week feel different. We have Canadian firm Variational AI's Enki platform and a major milestone for in silico medicine's drug, lenticelib. What's the core technology here?
Both are prime examples of generative AI moving from a screening tool to a creative engine. Traditional drug discovery was a process of elimination. Generative AI is a process of invention. Variational AI's Enki platform is trained on nearly all public, approved, and patented drugs. It doesn't just find a molecule that hits a target, it generates novel molecules that are co-optimized for efficacy, safety, and pharmacokinetic properties from the start.
Co-optimized? You mean it's solving multiple problems at once?
Exactly. A primary reason drugs fail in clinical trials is this multi-parameter problem. A compound is effective but turns out to be toxic, or it can't be absorbed by the body. Enki designs molecules to avoid these pitfalls from day one, and in silico's lenticelib is the proof. It's the first drug where both the target and the molecular structure were designed by AI. It went from target identification to receiving IND approval in just 18 months.
18 months is incredibly fast. Why does this matter globally right now?
Because in silico's drug is already succeeding in mid-stage clinical trials. This isn't theoretical anymore. This proves AI can create viable drugs that work in humans at unprecedented speed. The entire front end of the R&D timeline, which used to take years, is being compressed into months.
How does this specifically affect US and European biopharma manufacturers?
They face a paradigm shift. They need to prepare for a pipeline of more complex, rationally designed molecules arriving faster than ever. This means investing in agile, data-centric manufacturing processes that can integrate directly with these AI design platforms. European CDMOs with advanced capabilities and complex synthesis will be in high demand.
And for Western trading companies and distributors?
The cadence of new products is about to increase. They need to get much smarter about the novel mechanisms of action these AI-designed drugs employ. The value proposition is a higher probability of clinical success. For distributors, forging early partnerships with these AI-first biotechs like in silico is a critical strategic move.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
Your R&D organization must begin piloting generative AI platforms now, either in-house or through partnerships. The goal is to move beyond using AI for data analysis and start using it for de novo design. Assess your early stage pipeline and identify where this technology can resurrect a stalled program or accelerate a new one.
Let's move to a huge story from the FDA. A company called Arvinas, in partnership with Pfizer, just got approval for a drug named Vepanu. Troy, the report calls it a historic approval for a PROTAC. Unpack that for us.
PROTAC stands for Proteolysis Targeting Chimera. It's a key technology in a field called targeted protein degradation, or TPD. For decades, most drugs have been inhibitors. They block the function of a harmful protein. TPD is different. It doesn't just block the protein. It hijacks the cell's own machinery to completely destroy and eliminate it.
So it's the difference between putting a roadblock in front of a factory versus demolishing the factory entirely.
An excellent analogy. And Vepanu's FDA approval on May 1st, 2026 for advanced breast cancer with ESR1 mutations is the first ever for a PROTAC drug. This validates the entire therapeutic modality. It's a landmark moment.
Why is this so significant for the industry?
Because it's estimated that over 80% of human proteins are undruggable with traditional inhibitors because they lack a clear binding site.
TPDs can target many of these proteins. This approval carves out a regulatory pathway for a whole new class of medicines targeting diseases we previously couldn't touch. In its trial, Vepanu reduced the risk of disease progression or death by 43%.
What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers who make active pharmaceutical ingredients, or APIs?
This is a direct challenge and a massive opportunity. PROTACs are complex bifunctional molecules. They have two active ends connected by a linker. Manufacturing them is far more difficult than traditional small molecules. U.S. and European contract manufacturers, CDMOs, who build this specialized chemistry expertise now will capture a multi-billion dollar market.
And for trading and distribution companies?
They need to launch a major education campaign. Oncologists understand inhibitors, but the concept of a degrader is new. The messaging must be clear on why this unique mechanism is effective in treatment-resistant cancers. Highlighting the 43% risk reduction will be key to driving adoption.
So what's the immediate action item for Western executives?
R&D heads need to reevaluate their portfolios for high-value targets that were previously abandoned as undruggable. These are now potentially viable with a TPD approach. For supply chain executives, the action is to immediately begin vetting and securing manufacturing partners with demonstrated expertise in complex linker chemistry and bifunctional synthesis. That capacity will become a major bottleneck very quickly.
Let's stick with cancer treatment, but look at a different class of drugs, antibody-drug conjugates, or ADCs. We have two major developments. First, Lonza, a huge Swiss manufacturer, is massively expanding its production capacity. Second, Enhertu from AstraZeneca and Daiichi Sankyo got a new EU approval. What's the connection?
The connection is explosive demand meeting a supply-side bottleneck. ADCs are often called guided missiles. An antibody guides a potent chemo payload directly to a cancer cell. They are incredibly effective, but also incredibly complex to manufacture. Lonza's plan to bring a new commercial-scale ADC facility online at its Visp, Switzerland site by 2028 is a direct response to a market that is outstripping supply.
And the Enhertu approval? Why is it so special?
The EU approved it as the first tumor-agnostic HER2-directed therapy. This is a paradigm shift. Previously, you'd get approval for breast cancer or lung cancer. Tumor agnostic means Enhertu is now approved for any solid tumor, anywhere in the body, that tests positive for the HER2 biomarker. It treats the genetic driver, not the location of the cancer.
That sounds like a huge expansion of its market.
It is, and it's why Daiichi Sankyo received a $25 million milestone payment from AstraZeneca. It validates a strategy of developing drugs for biomarkers, not just for specific tumor types.
What are the implications for other U.S. and European manufacturers?
Lonza's expansion raises the competitive stakes. If you are a CDMO, you must invest in high-potency API handling and complex bioconjugation suites, or you will be left behind. For biotechs developing ADCs, it signals that more manufacturing capacity is coming, which could eventually help control costs.
And for Western trading and distribution companies, this tumor-agnostic label must be a challenge.
It's a complete change in strategy. Your sales teams can no longer just call on breast oncologists. They now need to educate and sell to specialists in bladder cancer, pancreatic cancer, cervical cancer, anywhere a HER2-positive tumor might arise. It requires a sophisticated biomarker-led commercial approach, and diagnostic partnerships become absolutely essential.
Give us the actionable insight for executives.
For biopharma executives, review your pipeline immediately for drugs that could follow a tumor-agnostic path. This is a proven high-value regulatory and commercial strategy. For supply chain leaders, the message is don't wait for 2028. Secure your ADC manufacturing slots for the next 5 years now. The demand is so intense that even with Lonza's expansion, capacity will remain tight.
Let's turn to another advanced therapy, RNA drugs. These have been revolutionary, but we hear a lot about high costs and manufacturing challenges. A U.S. company, Codexis, seems to have a solution. What is it?
Codexis is pioneering a new production method called enzymatic RNA manufacturing. The traditional method, solid phase oligonucleotide synthesis, or SPOS, has been the industry standard, but it's a bottleneck. It's inefficient, uses harsh chemicals, is difficult to scale, and very expensive.
How is the Codexis method different?
It's a biocatalytic process. Instead of harsh chemical reagents, it uses engineered enzymes to assemble the RNA molecules. The process has fewer steps, generates higher yields, is more sustainable, and most importantly, it's designed for massive scale.
And what kind of scale are we talking about?
The industry projects annual demand for these therapeutic oligonucleotides to exceed 30 metric tons. The old SPOS technology simply cannot meet that demand cost-effectively. Enzymatic synthesis is designed to meet that industrial scale, which is critical as RNA drugs move from treating rare diseases to chronic conditions like cardiovascular disease.
So for U.S. and European manufacturers currently using the old method, what does this mean?
It is a direct competitive threat to their cost structure and sustainability profile. Companies heavily invested in legacy SPOS infrastructure must now evaluate this enzymatic technology or risk becoming uncompetitive. It's an opportunity for those willing to invest in new, greener, more efficient facilities.
And for trading companies and distributors who handle these drugs?
They should prepare for significant price changes. A major driver of the high cost of RNA therapeutics is the manufacturing of the API. This technology promises to dramatically lower the cost of goods. This could open up new markets, particularly in more price-sensitive healthcare systems, and accelerate the use of these drugs in much larger patient populations.
So the actionable insight for executives is?
For manufacturing and operations executives, you need to start a technical and economic diligence process on enzymatic synthesis immediately. Engage with pioneers like Codexis to understand the capital investment and potential ROI. For business development and commercial leaders, it's time to remodel your pricing and market access strategies based on a future of substantially lower API costs for your RNA portfolio.
Troy, a lot of ground covered this week. What are the key takeaways for executives listening in?
Three key themes this week. First, generative AI is no longer a future promise. It is a present reality delivering clinical candidates. The 18-month timeline from target to IND set by InSilico is the new benchmark. If you are not actively integrating AI for de novo design, you are already falling behind.
Second, new therapeutic modalities are rapidly maturing.
Correct. With the first FDA approval of a PROTAC protein degrader, a whole new class of previously undruggable targets is now open for business. And with tumor-agnostic approvals for ADCs, the commercial strategy for oncology is being rewritten around biomarkers, not anatomy.
And the final takeaway?
Underpinning all of this is a revolution in manufacturing. Whether it's Lonza building out capacity for complex ADCs or Codexis reinventing RNA synthesis, the core infrastructure of biopharma is being upgraded. Securing access to these next-generation manufacturing technologies is now a critical strategic priority. The key action for all executives is to map these technology shifts against your own R&D, supply chain, and commercial strategies today.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for the analysis.
A pleasure, Susie.
Join us again next week for Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you don't miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We help you separate the signal from the noise in a rapidly changing world. Thank you for listening.